Well, today, after a little bit of time that we have gone off on our series, we're returning back into our sermon series on Luke, which is entitled Jesus, the Savior of the World. Now, as we are re-entering the narrative in chapter 11, we find Jesus teaching on prayer. But before we hear his words on how to pray, we're going to actually lay a foundation for why and how we pray. And so Ephesians 6 is going to help us to see that true prayer is a spirit-empowered and rooted in our union with Christ in the midst of spiritual warfare. And so this is going to actually better prepare us to understand what Jesus is teaching when we do this when we look at this in a few weeks. And so before we read, I want us to get the context of Ephesians. So up to this point in Paul's letter, it has been all about the riches of God's grace, from election and redemption to unity in Christ and to spirit-filled living. Now in chapter 6, Paul is actually bringing all of this to a climax by framing the Christian life as spiritual warfare. We cannot stand on our own. We need God's armor and the Spirit's power in prayer. In this passage, prayer is not some isolated discipline, just something we need to do, but it's the very means by which believers together stand firm, wield the word of God, and resist the devil's schemes. Now, this was very important in Ephesians because their city was saturated with idolatry, with magic, and with demonic practices. You see this in Acts 19. So people would blend the Roman gods, occult rituals, and emperor worship together into one thing. And in such a dark spiritual climate, Paul's call to spirit-empowered prayer was not optional. It was essential. And it's the same for us today. Though we may not see temples to Artemis or public exorcists, very real idols remain. So think about this. We have the worship of materialism, nature, autonomy, and even the worship of Satan. These same spiritual forces of evil are still active. They seek to destroy us, to destroy our families, to destroy our church, to destroy our city. But God has not left us defenseless. There is strength. There is armor. There is a way to stand firm and even take ground against the enemy. But how? Through spirit-enabled prayer, we are clothed with the armor and weapon of Christ, our conquering King. Now, here's an illustration that I'd like to show you to let you see how important this is. Imagine today that if I asked you to bake a dozen cookies, but you have no sugar. You follow the recipe, you take them, you bake them, you hand them to me, and I take a bite, and they're not sweet. But just like this, imagine if I gave you sugar, and you still left it out. And instead, worse, you actually substituted the sugar for salt, and then you handed me a cookie. How would that taste? That's what it's like praying without the Spirit. You can go through the motions. You can use the right ingredients. You can speak words. But without the power of the Spirit, there's no sweetness, there's no substance, and there's no life in our prayers. The Spirit is the sugar in our prayers, the sweetness in our prayers. Without Him, prayer simply becomes a dry ritual. But with Him, prayer becomes sweet communion with God. Now, with this in mind, I'd like you to hear the word of the Lord from Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Would you stand with me as we read the word of God? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The grass withers, the flowers they fade, but the word of our God stands forever. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, this text shows us that true prayer first is spirit-enabled dependence in a spiritual battle. Spirit-enabled dependence in a spiritual battle. So verses 11 to 12, they show us that we are not on a carnival cruise. We are in the midst of a deadly spiritual war. The Christian life is actually a battlefield. It's not a vacation. We are on the deck of the battleship, engaged in a cosmic battle against the most evil and powerful forces in existence. These cosmic powers attack through world systems, ideologies, and cultural pressure points to deceive, to divide, and to destroy the people of God. And this war, it can't be fought with physical strength. It can't be fought with clever tactics. And this is why Paul begins in verse 10 with a call, he said, to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Is there any other way to say that you need to rely on God than that? To be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might? He doesn't just say, be strong in the Lord. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Our own strength is nowhere in view here. It's only God's strength. And in him alone is the might powerful enough to resist the schemes of the devil, to protect his people, and to take kingdom ground. But how do we get God's strength? Well, verse 13 to 17 shows us that you get God's strength by putting on the whole armor of God. But this armor is actually not just a list of virtues, like be kind, don't swear, don't dance, don't do these things, right? There's not a list of these virtues, supposedly. I'm not saying those are virtues, but people think that way sometimes. This list is actually a person. It's a person. We are not merely clothing ourselves with good spiritual disciplines either. We are putting on Christ himself. The belt of truth? Well, you guessed it. Jesus is the truth. The breastplate of righteousness? Jesus is our righteousness, and he covers us. The sword of the Spirit, the word of Christ, that's Christ. You see, the armor of God is Christ. And to put on the armor is to be clothed with or in Christ Jesus. And so how do we do that? Well, verse 18 tells us we are to pray at all times in the Spirit. You see, prayer is how we engage the battle. It is the Spirit who empowers our prayers, who connects us to the resources of heaven, and who deepens our union with Christ. You see, prayer is not merely asking for things. Prayer is a participation in the battle by depending on God alone and his strength. But here's the thing. You might say to me right now, well, Pastor James, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I'm not quite sure what that means. Well, some may imagine a mystical experience or some emotional high, but Paul has something completely different in mind. To pray in the Spirit is to pray by the Spirit's power in the strength of his might. It is to pray in alignment with God's word for God's glory. It's actually prayer that is shaped by the gospel, guided by the will of God, what God wants, and infused with the Spirit's presence. And so the Spirit, he helps us in our weakness, and he leads us to pray what pleases the Father, which is namely one thing, that we would have more of Christ. that we would have more of Christ. So this passage shows us that true prayer is actually spirit-enabled dependence in the midst of spiritual warfare. It is how we stand firm, how we wield the word, how we resist the devil. It's not just one piece of armor. It's how all of it is put on and used. And I want to just make a little bit of aside here. At the time when Paul was writing this, the Romans, they had a special type of thing that they did with shields. When you picture a Roman army, you don't picture like the Sunday school thing with like the little soldier with all this armor and it's got salvation, you know, salvation up here written on his head and all these things. Actually, the Roman army fought together with shields that covered their whole bodies, and they marched together with their shields interlocking both in front of them and above them. So when you think of the armor, it's that whole thing, the shield, all the armor, but it's God's people praying together, which, by the way, in the original language, all throughout Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God, it's all in the plural, second person plural. Paul is talking about us not only praying individually, but praying together as a body. And so if we try to pray without the Spirit, it's actually trying to speak without breath. You could move your mouth, but there's no life in it. Just as breath gives power to words, the Spirit gives power to prayer. And it is through Spirit-enabled prayer that we are clothed with Christ. You see, this armor, this power, this constant communion with the triune God through prayer, it's all ours in Christ. But there's a problem. Even though the Spirit is willing, our flesh, it's weak. Even though Christ has given us access, we often live like we're still all alone. Let's be honest. In this battle, we often rely on the flesh. We pray out of duty. We pray out of fear. Or sometimes we pray as a last resort. You see, ever since the fall, we have resisted dependence upon God. Like trying to bake cookies without any ingredients, or pan, or oven. Verse 10 calls us to be strong in the Lord, but we often try to be strong in ourselves. Imagine being on a naval warship during battle, but instead of picking up the communication device and calling for air support, we sprint around the deck, picking up old ammo that has fallen and been shot, and try to forge new ammo from scrap metal. That's what many of us do spiritually. We rely on our own strength. We rely on our own strategies. We rely on our own wisdom. We want to be in control because we want and we try to live and be God. The spiritual forces of evil, as verses 11 to 12 describe, have exploited this. They've schemed us into prayerlessness. They've schemed us into spiritual laziness. Some try to fight in their own strength, and others numb themselves with entertainment and distraction, ignoring the war that's going on entirely. And for many, prayer seems too hard, too uncertain, or some fruitless labor. So why bother? Verse 13 calls us to stand and resist, but instead, many coast. We've believed the lie that comfort is king, that prayer is optional, that Jesus is an accessory to wear around our neck, not our armor. The devil's tactics have worked. People binge on media. They chase performance. They drown themselves in self-doubt, and they fail to pick up the armor of God. Verses 14 to 17 list the weapons we've been given, but we often live without them. Instead of the belt of truth, we believe lies about God and ourselves. Instead of Christ's righteousness, we try to earn our worth. Instead of the gospel of peace, we live anxious and divided lives. Instead of faith, we walk in fear. Instead of the helmet of salvation, our minds are filled with the worldly voices. And the sword of the Spirit, God's word, is often left sheathed, unopened, unread, and gathering dust. And so, as verse 18 warns us, we do not pray in our own power. We don't just simply pray. We pray at all times. All times. So one of the interesting things to think about this is when you think of this being in the context of the whole Christian community, if you look at what Barna wrote in a study back in 2019, he said that only 5% of Christians pray together regularly. 5%. Though Paul speaks in plural throughout this passage, we think this is just primarily to pray ourselves. That statistic isn't just sad, actually. The statistic is revealing. Many don't pray because they don't know how. They've never been taught. Others pray with no confidence in God's power. And still others don't believe that prayer makes a world of difference. And at the root of all of this is self-reliance and unbelief. We idolize ease. We doubt God's presence. And functionally, we reject the reality of spiritual warfare in a day-to-day basis. We either ignore the enemy or think that we can beat him on our own. All our self-reliance, all our prayerlessness, and our spiritual laziness leaves us exposed. And when we stand in our own strength, we fall. That's the bad news. But the good news is that Jesus speaks a better word. We are not left to ourselves. Jesus' prayer in the garden for the cup of wrath to pass was actually denied so that we could become God's children who pray. Jesus cried out and prayed out in the garden that the cup would pass, and his prayer was unanswered so that we could cry out, Abba, Father. You know, when we consider the devil's schemes and the spiritual forces of evil that wage war against us, lying, stealing, destroying, we must admit this, we are not strong enough. We need more than strategies. Brothers and sisters, we need more than willpower. We need a victorious commander who has already overcome the enemy. Because these enemies are spiritual and not physical, that's what Paul says, we need armor that's not of this world. We need armor that's not of this world. Jesus is that armor. Jesus is not a metaphor. Jesus is not simply a model. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our protection. Fully God, fully man, Jesus has defeated these spiritual powers through his perfect life, through his atoning death, through his triumphant resurrection, and through his glorious ascension. In his earthly ministry, empowered by the Spirit, Jesus stood against the schemes of the devil. He defeated the enemy's strategy of death by actually dying himself and embracing death. He wrestled with spiritual forces of wickedness. He cast out demons and he conquered them not with the sword, but by the cross. He stood before Pilate and the religious leaders, the rulers of this age, and allowed himself to be falsely condemned so that he might conquer sin and death on our behalf. On the cross, Jesus silenced the lies of the accuser by becoming the truth. He absorbed the arrows of guilt and shame in his own flesh. He crushed the head of the serpent, even as his heel was bruised on the cross. And he did it all of this, so that we could be clothed in him. The belt of truth, Jesus is the truth, who holds all things together, including the armor we wear. That was the purpose of the belt, to hold all the armor together. Jesus is that truth that holds everything together. Jesus was stripped of his clothes so that we could be clothed in his righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness, Jesus became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He covers our hearts with his obedience. The shoes of the gospel of peace, well, this is easy. Jesus is our peace. What happened when he was born? What did the angels say? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. What was peace on earth? An idea? No, it was the Son of God, peace himself. Jesus Christ, his feet brought good news, and then his feet were nailed to the cross, being bruised, so that he could give us the Spirit so that we could carry this good news to other people. The shield of faith, Jesus, he's the faithful one who entrusted himself to the Father. And he now shields us from the arrows of the enemy through our trust in him. His side was pierced so that we could be protected. The helmet of salvation, Jesus, whose name means Yahweh saves. I am the covenant faithful God, Yahweh saves. He guards our minds. He secures our identity by his finished work and by his ongoing presence in our hearts. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Well, the sword of the Spirit and the word of God, Jesus, is what is he called, brothers and sisters, in John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word, the eternal Word of God, who comes and speaks life and speaks truth and brings victory. And what else you see here? Spirit-empowered prayer. How does this all fit in? Well, Jesus, our great high priest, gives us access to the throne of grace. And he sends us the Holy Spirit so that we can pray at all times, in every season, with Spirit-empowered confidence. As Paul makes clear in his letters to the churches, Spirit-empowered living is inseparable from being saturated by the Word of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, he commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And by the way, in that passage, he says, live in, live by, walk by, and keep in step with the Spirit. He kind of thinks it's important. And so we are to be filled with the Spirit. And in Colossians 3, the parallel command is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, to pray in the Spirit is to pray that the Word of God, Jesus Christ, abides in us and that we abide in him, shaping our minds, guarding our hearts and our desires. The Spirit works through the Word to conform our prayers to Christ. This armor that Paul describes, however, is not new. This is why we read for our scripture reading Isaiah 11. You see, this armor is the very armor of Isaiah, and Isaiah saw it long before Paul wrote. Paul pulled this armor from Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 59. In Isaiah 11, the coming king wears righteousness as his breastplate and faithfulness, truth, as his belt. In Isaiah 59, the Lord himself puts on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation as he rises to save his people with justice and zeal. When no one else could intercede, the Redeemer came clothed for battle. Paul draws on this vision and shows us that Jesus is the divine warrior that was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. He wore this armor in his earthly ministry and in his victorious death. And now he gives this armor to us. He gives himself to us. To put on the armor of God, brothers and sisters, is to put on Christ. If you have read that passage all your life and wondered how to put on the armor of God, it is so simple, even the smallest child could understand. You are to put on Christ. You are to abide in Christ, as John 15 says. Because apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. So how do you think the armor gets equipped? By praying to the Father through the mediation of the Son for the Spirit to conform us and bring us more into Christ. That is Spirit-enabled prayer. Give me more of Jesus, Father. Through the Spirit, our prayers really do become participation in the victory of Christ. Christ wore the armor for us, won the battle for us, and now clothes us in himself. Because of his finished works, we don't just fight like him, we fight in him. That is our fight. On the cross, Jesus took our sin and defeated death so that we could live in his life-giving power. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about how this whole idea of being made new, and we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, completely new. The old is gone, the shame, the guilt, it's all gone, and we're in Christ. You see, through his resurrection, Jesus gives us the Spirit, enabling us to stand in the battle, but not with earthly weapons, but with Christ himself as our army. Do you see what this means? Christ wore our sin so we could wear him, so we could wear his strength. He was pierced, brothers and sisters, so you and I could pray. He was pierced so we could pray together. This is not simply an image. This is actually our identity. And so clothed in Christ, we pray as Spirit-led, confident children for strength in the spiritual battle. If you are in Christ, you are not only clothed in his righteousness, but you have also received the Spirit, his Spirit, who is the very breath of God. He empowers your prayer. He equips you for battle. The Spirit opens your eyes to the spiritual reality. He shows you and I our need, and he gives us strength to abide in Christ. And who is this Spirit? He's called the Spirit of Christ, the one sent to make Jesus real to you and I, brothers and sisters. The Spirit's ministry is not abstract. It's not mystical. It's personal, and it's Christ-centered. Jesus said the Spirit would glorify him and take what is his and declare it to us. That means every true movement of prayer the Spirit inspires will draw you nearer to Jesus, nearer to his word, nearer to his work, and nearer to his heart. You see, we stand in this war not in fear, but with confidence, because we stand in Christ Jesus, the mighty warrior. If you look at the imagery in the scriptures, the man of Basra, who comes as the conquering hero, and you look at Revelation 19 as he rides on his white horse, and the blood is up to the bridle of the horse. This is Jesus, the conquering king, who destroys our spiritual foes and leads the battle. This is why our confession, it says, speaks of Jesus Christ as the true king, and it says he fights all his and our battles. His Spirit is our strength. His word is our sword. His armor is our protection. The Spirit enables us to live in constant prayer, not as a duty, but as the breath of life. Because in prayer, we get more of Jesus. Do you know why in the scripture it doesn't talk about a gift of prayer? Because there's no gift of breathing. You're alive or not. And so prayer is the nature of being a spirit alive person. Every Christian prays and can pray because every Christian has the Spirit of the living God in them, drawing them into Christ. And that is the point. So how then do we abide in Christ and walk in this armor? You might think through that. You say, okay, well, how do you do it? Practically. So first, you fasten on the belt of truth by fixing your minds on Christ and reframing your entire world and life view by his word. You reframe your world and life view by his word, not by what the world says, not by what you think, not by what books say, unless that book is the Bible. We wear the breastplate of righteousness by walking in Christ's holiness positionally and practically, knowing intimacy with God grows where sin no longer blinds. We lace up the gospel of peace by living at peace with one another and proclaiming the peace that we have in Christ to others. We raise the shield of faith by trusting the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ, even when the fiery arrows are flying at us. We wear the helmet of salvation by daily renewing our minds with the gospel and becoming fluent in the gospel, with it both with ourselves and with others. And if you don't know what that means, we're going to be talking about this as we go forward in our triads, which are the small groups of people, three people that get together and be discipled together. You have to become gospel fluent. When somebody tells you that their boss is terrible, you actually have to figure out what's actually going on in the heart and not just join in them and say, yeah, your boss is so bad, he's terrible. We just join in gossip and slander and things like that instead of being fluent and bringing Christ into the person's situation. We wield the sword of the Spirit by immersing ourselves in the Word of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We do it alone, we do it with our families, and we do it within the community of the church. We live in constant prayer by asking the Father through the Son for the Spirit to fill us and empower us and conform us to Christ and give us more of Christ. You see, this is not theory, this is war. This is war where we have access to the radio to call in spiritual bombers. We can call in on the power of the King to rout our enemies and to advance his kingdom. But you might be wondering this, but how do I actually begin to pray like this? If I want to, but it feels out of reach, I'm going to offer you four simple words. Be a kid again. Be a kid again. Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom like a child, you will not enter it. Children don't worry about formality. They don't strategize their requests. They run to their Father because they know they are loved. That's what Spirit-enabled prayer looks like. Not grown-up independence, but childlike trust. If you're in Christ, the Spirit of adoption cries within you, Abba, Father. So run to Him. Ask big, ask boldly, ask like a child who knows his Father delights to give him Jesus. As the Spirit empowers you, your prayers will change. You'll pray not just for relief, but for deeper fellowship with Christ. You'll pray against temptation, against habitual sin, and for deliverance from the evil one. The Spirit will enable you to pray the heart of the Lord's Prayer in your life. He will enable your prayers. So however, maybe today you realize you've been fighting alone. You've been wearing broken armor. Or maybe you don't even have any armor on at all. You don't have Christ. You've tried to manage, you've tried to push through in life, but you're tired. You don't have to stay there. Lay down your pride, admit your weakness. Trust in Jesus, the risen King, your strong deliverer. He has conquered death. He clothes his people in his righteousness, and by his Spirit, he empowers us to pray as sons and daughters of the King. You see, by his Spirit, you can be clothed in Christ today. You can live in his protection. You can live and fight in his strength. You can pray not as a ritual, but as a warrior in communion with your King. In Christ, you are no longer alone and you are no longer weak. Clothed and empowered, you can stand firm and take ground, all for the glory of the Father. Lord, we thank you that you have given us Christ. The true, our true armor. We delight in you and we thank you. We pray that your Spirit would lead us and guide us this day. And we pray that you'd help us to be equipped with Christ. Amen.